This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dottiglia along with Cullen Steele running things on the board behind the glass here. And so glad to have you with us for the next 4 hours. Steve Geller will join us in the 540 frame for triple option. Want to tell everybody at 420, starting it right off the bat, Kim Mulkey, LSU women's head basketball coach, will join us, and Coach Mulkey and company will start play this coming Saturday as they play San Diego State. And so interesting right off the bat for Coach Mulkey, and number 3 seed in the tournament. At 4:40, Renee Nato from Crescent City Sports will join us. We'll be talking Saints signings, also a little bit about LSU spring football, but the story that is happening in front of sort of our very eyes is the McNeese State Cowboys, a 7.5 to 8 point underdog to Clemson. They had a 31-13 lead at halftime in the Midwest Regional in Providence. Clemson scored 13 points in the first half. Brandon, he scored 14 points off the bench for the McNeese State Cowboys. Unbelievable. 10 turnovers in the first half forced by McNeese. Clemson was 5 for 24 from the floor. And so with 7 minutes, 47 seconds left in the second half, it's 51-29 McNeese State Cowboys. And we had on Will Wade a couple of days ago, and he talked about, last year, Mike, I think it was just, we were just making a trip. You know, it was like a field trip. First time we get into the tournament last year, but we in it to win it this year. We going to win games here. And boy, they pieced it together. Just an unbelievable start. Defense has been outstanding for McNeese all game long, and again, with a little over 7 minutes, McNeese with a 51-32 lead over Clemson. Will keep you up to date on everything as it goes along, but that would be a huge upset. And I think about what Coach Spinelli was talking about yesterday, that you never know the mindset of 17 to 23-year-olds that are playing. And sometimes something little really distracts them. And sometimes something big don't distract them at all. If you're watching this game or listening to this game, the distracted team is certainly Clemson. And in the first half, they couldn't hit the ocean if they were on the beach. Now, a lot of that had to do with McNeese's defense, which was really, really good the entire first half. But, boy, did they shoot terrible in the first half of that game. And now they try to make a little bit of a run at this to try to cut this lead. But every time they seem to make a run, McNeese kind of checkmates them and gets that lead right back to 17, 19, 20 points. And it's desperation time now for Clemson. And here's the crazy thing about it. In the arena, everybody in there is pulling for McNeese. This is almost like a home game for the Cowboys as everybody's pulled against Clemson. It goes to show you, man, the crown gets a little heavy when they expect you to win. And this was a team, 7.5, 8-point underdog. Can Will Wade and McNeese State close it out here with a little over 6 minutes left in this basketball game? News out of LSU, and it was on his Instagram page, and somebody I know really well, John Emery Jr., who basically it looked as though he was going to give up football, was not going to play again. Looks as though, from what he's talking, that he may give football another shot, and it would be season 7 for John Emery at LSU. John, you know, his dad was a really good football player at Nicholls State. John was a 5-star recruit at Destrehan High School. He could have went anywhere in the country. Terrific running back there. Had his choice of any school. Goes to LSU. Early on, John didn't have a good handle on the football. And it started with Coach O and company. They weren't too thrilled about how he was putting the ball on the turf. He gets healthy. He's had a couple games where he's really looked good. Started the season out outstanding last year against Southern Cal. And then for the second straight year, tears up the ACL. But he is talking about coming back for a 7th season. How much gas he got left in the tank physically, it'll be interesting to see with John. He was such a talented football player at Destrehan, certainly early on at LSU. He flashed it there, but was never able to sort of really kind of get it together, you might want to say, on the football field where he could hold on to the ball and be a big part of it. And certainly a lot of that having to do with the health of John. And so we'll see what happens here as Emery is thinking about making a comeback with the LSU Tigers. And how healthy he'll be, man, because I'd love to see him get a shot and play football again. But I'm more worried about his health because he's had a number of major injuries at LSU. And today it was a record-setting day because Bill Chisholm, a managing partner of Symphony Technology Group, agreed to purchase the Boston Celtics from the Grousbeck family for $6.1 billion. It's the largest sale of a sports franchise in North American history. And it beats the 6.05 price that Josh Harris Group paid for the Washington Commanders back in July of 2023. Man, Cullen, I know you got that in your back pocket, that kind of money.
I don't know about that.
But you talking about that, that's a tremendous amount of money here to pay for a basketball team, a storied franchise, no question about it. And you knew they were going to get big money. I didn't think they'd quite get this amount of money. But, man, you talk about a record breaker, and that was it for the Boston Celtics sale. Also, in some of the other NCAA games, Gonzaga, in the first half, has a 35-16 lead over Georgia. Creighton defeated Louisville 89-75. We have Purdue beat High Point 75-63. Wisconsin, 65. They beat Montana 85-66. Right now it's a final just come over. Auburn has defeated Alabama State 83-63, number one ranked Auburn, and man, they showed it today. And then also another number one ranked team, Houston, 78-40 over CIU Edgewoodsville. You know what that's at, Cullen?
I have no clue. Mike, I'm kind of still stuck up on this Celtics thing. Did you mention, I'm talking to Steve here, we're having some behind-the-scenes discussion. Did you mention the return on investment by the sellers, basically, how much they bought the team for back in, like, 2002?
Yeah, they made pretty good nickels off of that.
Yeah, at $360 million, they turned it into $6.1 billion.
Yeah, boy, I wish I had some investments of mine hit that. Now, listen, I'm not going to complain because I've done pretty well. But, man, when you get that type of retail back to you, my God, you talk about big time when you cashing in at that level. That is an unbelievable amount of money to get back off of your investment. And, again, when you look at NBA basketball today, it is the storied franchise. Certainly the Lakers are right there with them. But the Celtics and all those championships. And as a kid growing up watching just how dominant the Celtics were back in the 60s and into the 70s. And then to see that come back again now, because they loaded again for another run to try to repeat as NBA champs. When we come back here on the Big 870 WWL, we'll have on with us the head women's basketball coach at LSU, Kim Mulkey, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglia along with Cullen Steele handling things behind the scenes. Want to tell everybody, 4 minutes, 11 seconds left in the ball game. McNeese State Cowboys 57, Clemson 42. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, the head basketball coach of the Lady Tigers, Kim Mulkey. Coach Mulkey, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. I know you got a lot of things to do, but we really appreciate you spending some time here with us.
Well, you're welcome. We had a morning practice at 6:30 this morning, so I had some time this afternoon to visit.
Well, we really appreciate it. Coach, we've had it a couple of times. People have texted about the health of your team. You had a couple of standouts that were dealing with leg injuries, and even though you've addressed it, then I'll give you another chance to talk about the health of your team as you enter the NCAA tournament this coming Saturday.
Yeah, we're healthy. Everybody's back. I set Flaje Johnson the last 3 or 4 games of the season, and it cost us a couple of wins, but we weren't going to change our standings in conference had we won the game. So I decided, you know, she's got these shin issues going on. I don't want it to turn into, like, stress reactions or stress fractures, and she's not playing good because of it, and she's trying to hide it. So let's just shut her down, and let's rehab her and get her ready, and then in the Texas game in the SEC tournament, Anissa Morrow went down. They stepped on her foot again. She had injured it early, sprained it, and it just re-aggravated it. But they're both back and ready to go.
Coach, we've talked so much about it in football, about the parity in the Southeast Conference. We certainly see it in baseball. I think of the top 25, 12 teams from the SEC. But you could also say that about women's basketball in the SEC. Just how big this sport has grown throughout the years, in almost a short blink of the time frame. And we all kind of remember, you know, with Pat Summitt and that run at Tennessee, and now what's happened at South Carolina, you coming in here and win a national championship. But the growth of the league, women's wise in basketball, is just amazing.
I think the SEC, just across the board in just about every sport, is just, think about it, it's nuts. The SEC men are as good as they've ever been, in my opinion. And I came from the Big 12, which had Kansas and all those guys who dominated for years. And to watch the SEC men's basketball do what it's doing, we already know what football does. And I tell people all the time, I said, think winning the SEC conference title is going to give you such an advantage to win the national championship, but it doesn't work like that. You're fighting, you know, in the SEC to win a conference championship, but then we go and win a national championship, and we didn't win the SEC that year. And when that happens, that sends a message loud and clear how tough our league is.
Coach Mulkey, we had on Coach Scott Spinelli yesterday, and I was asking him the keys. He'd been coaching over 25 years in college basketball, and the keys to when you get into the tournament. And he was like, okay, Mike, I'm just giving you my opinion. One, I love a team with experience, because you never know how 17 to 22-year-olds handle the pressures. And sometimes they feel it and it's not really there. And sometimes they have all kind of things happening in the background, and they play as loose as could be. So he said, I love experienced teams. And he says, you know, the other thing, and he said, I know you talk about it all the time for football, but defense travels. And the inability to give a team second chance points, one shot. If you don't make it, that's all you're going to get. And he felt that those two elements were the two big elements. Now, like he said, listen, talent does win. But he said, you got to have those other two parts to it to advance or win a national title. Your thoughts on what Coach Spinelli was talking about?
I agree, and I'm going to add to it. Excuse me. I think that experience does matter. The inexperienced teams play kind of kamikaze. We have nothing to lose, but usually those teams don't win championships. The experienced teams handle the ups and downs throughout a game, and because they've been in that situation before, they don't get rattled. Now, to win a championship, certainly you're going to have to play defense, but you're going to have to all be on the same page at the right time, playing your best basketball. You got to make sure that you get one lucky play. If it's a missed free throw, if it's a made three, something in the course along the way in these six games to a national championship, one play, you go, how did that happen? And then lastly, you got to stay away from injuries. Injuries can derail anything you try to do when you have somebody go down that's in your rotation.
So a lot of times, you know, and I say this because I got coaches with my family, they'll say, well, next person up, if it's next man up or next woman up. But, you know, it's not necessarily the case, because that next person isn't as good as the one you lose. And so the health part, I agree with you 1,000% on that. We had a texter ask me to ask you this and about Anissa Morrow and her growth as a player. And I think, you know, you look back at it, her as a freshman and her growth period into college ranks at LSU, as a coach, to see her really develop into such a really talented college basketball player, that's got to make you feel good. And the fact that you got three AP All-Americans on your team, okay, that is about talent, but you've put them in the right position to make plays and to fully utilize their skills out on the court.
I wish I had had Nisa all 4 years in college. You know, she started her career at DePaul. She's from Chicago. Her role at DePaul was much different than it has been at LSU. She shot a lot of threes. They call it DePaul ball. The more threes, the better. That is not what we're going to do at LSU. Now, we'll shoot the three, but I just believe that you got to have some post game. You got to rebound the ball, and I just learned early with her in practice. This kid has a knack about being around the ball when shots are taken. She can leap out of the gym. Even though she's an undersized post player, she figures out ways to get fouled or get her shot off. At the next level, she knows that she's going to have to do more on the perimeter. But for us, it's whatever we need, Coach. And she's just embraced her role here, and I'm just so happy for her. Yes, we do have three elite players. But let me tell you, position matters. Quarterback on a football team, if they're not elite, they're never going to get that ball to those elite receivers. So what I've had to do somewhat is take one of those elite wing players and play them at the point a lot in the course of a game, which is not ideal, but that's the kind of team that I have this year. And then an elite post, an elite center, a 6'5", we don't have that. We had that with Angel Reese. We had that elite point guard with Alexis Morrow. But this is who we have, and we gotta adjust and adapt through the course of the game, and we will do that. And we've had a great year. I just don't like a two quarterback system, and I've been having to do that all year with our point guard play.
For people who haven't watched San Diego State play, kind of give us a scouting breakdown on them.
Well, they came in fourth in their league. They won their conference tournament. Only one from their league got in the tournament, in the NCAA tournament. They're going to spread you out all over the floor. They average about 8 made threes a game, which, you know, they're not what you would just say just a flat-out three-point shooting team. They just take you off the bounce. They play it hard. They're undersized. We're going to be, you know, much bigger than they are. And they're excited. And when you're excited to be in the tournament, you usually play your best basketball. Their coach was at LSU and was an assistant at LSU for 2 years under Nikki Fargus. So she's very familiar with the PMAC and the crowd. And she'll have her team ready to play.
Coach, behind the scenes, and, you know, coaching still matters. You got to have talent, but coaching matters. But you got a great staff. And I think that's a hallmark to you, that you can translate what you really believe basketball-wise, and then your assistant coaches have to be an extension of you. You got an unbelievable staff here, some young and one gentleman that's got a little bit of age on him. But, hey, he knows the game at a level very few people know.
Bob Starkey took LSU to Final Four as an interim coach back in the day. He's the only associate head coach in the country that's ever done that. And he needs to be in the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame. He's coached under Sue Gunter. He coached under Dale Brown. He's been at Auburn. He's been here. He's been at Texas A&M. And he loves the role he plays. He doesn't want to be a head coach. And Bob Starkey is responsible for our first win in the SEC tournament this year. I was out dealing with a family funeral and death, and he got that our team ready to play. And when you look at the young ones I have, they bring a lot of energy. This new generation, you got to stay abreast of what motivates them and their recruiters. And so it's a great staff, and I'm blessed to have them, because as we age, I can't do things on that floor that I used to could do. I wish I could. My mind says I can. My body says I can't. So I make sure that I surround myself with people that are loyal, people that understand what I'm trying to do, and yet they also can relate to young people.
Coach, I didn't know if I was going to ask you this, but a gentleman asked me this twice to ask you. He says, you know, Kim Mulkey has seen a lot of basketball in her time frame. Ask her what she thinks of Zion Williamson, because he's like, when he is healthy, he is one of one. And so I'm going to ask you about it. I debated if I was going to ask you about it, but I thought it was a good question for you.
Well, I don't watch, and it's terrible to say, but I don't watch a lot of NBA until it's playoff time. I have gone to a Pelican game since I've been here, but I am so involved in my own team that I just don't watch it much. But when it's playoffs, I just feel like they take it up a whole level. I think the intensity is, you know, just so much higher. And those guys play so many games a year that I understand. I wish I could tell you I've evaluated him and I could tell you things just off the top of my head. I remember him at Duke, and I just thought, that guy could play football. That is one big dude, but he leaps out of the gym. He's like a springboard. He's just, you wouldn't think that he could do what he does with that body. And I read a lot about his weight. I think, you know, people, you know, talk about it a lot. At the end of the day, I've never been a coach that gave players a weight to play at. I always believe that you're going to get hurt if you're not in playing shape. And number two, you know better than anybody what your best weight is to play at. And so I kind of stay away from all those people who criticize that, because it's just, I don't know, it's just not for me. I'm not into nutrition. I leave that up to people who are more qualified than I am.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. We wish you the best of luck. And I know, you know, WWL being the flagship station of LSU, it means so much. And it was to see when you won the national championship, how many people responded. I couldn't have dreamed that there were that many women's basketball fans out there, but I saw it maybe in the months leading to it. Bobby J and I are doing a show at one of the casinos, and one of the guys comes up and says, could you put that TV on such and such channel?
I said, well, yeah.
I can't, but I said, I can get somebody to do it. I said, what you want to watch? He said, LSU's women's basketball team. I was like, okay, I've been doing this a long time. That's the first time somebody brought that up to me. And it does go to show what winning and having that type team does to a community. And you got to see it. You've seen it numerous times at other places. But to see what it did to South Louisiana and to Baton Rouge and to LSU, it really, you know, kind of stoked your heart a little bit that they were that involved in women's basketball.
When I took the job, I said at my press conference, I came home to win a national championship, and little did I know we would do it as quickly as we have. We're relevant now. Whether we ever win another one or not, I came home to do what I wanted everybody in this state to experience. I was blessed to have experienced that at Louisiana Tech three times, two as a player and one as an assistant coach, and I realized that LSU had never done that. And I thought, my gosh, they've had some of the best teams in the country, and how hard it is. And coaches coach a lifetime and never win it. And for us to do it, my heart is filled. I will continue to play hard and try to put a product on the floor that the whole state is proud of, and not just LSU alums and donors. We're getting, you know, responses from people that watched me play at Louisiana Tech and people in the surrounding areas. That's what you want to build, so people will start talking about you.
Coach Mulkey, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. I really appreciate it. And again, we wish you and the Lady Tigers best of luck come tournament time.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. The head basketball coach of the women's team at LSU, Kim Mulkey. And just to tell everybody, it is less than 30 seconds left in the game right now. And McNeese just holding on, 67-62 over Clemson. Timeout with 22 seconds left. We knew Clemson would make a run, but now with 22 seconds left, 67-62, McNeese over Clemson. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Cullen Steele behind the scenes, and it is a final in Providence in the Midwest Regional, and it's the upset as the McNeese State Cowboys hung on to beat Clemson 69-67. And I'm watching the TV and I see my old buddy from the Bayou, Wade Roos, the president of McNeese. He grew up in Golden Meadow, so we've known each other for a long time. And man, thrilled for Will Wade and those young men because you got caught in the vortex here with so many things happening behind the scenes with Will Wade, and to pull this upset off, 69-67 over Clemson. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line from Crescent City Sports, Renee Nadeau. Renee, I'm going to ask you about your reaction, because for a lot of people, when the news came out breaking that he would go to North Carolina State, a lot of people said, that's it. They got no shot against Clemson. And, man, his team, they jumped on him early, hung on at the end, but you got the W, and you advance now to play Purdue.
Yeah, Mike, you know, and you got to be happy for Will Wade, and you got to be happy for the people in Louisiana. I mean, he represents Louisiana, and, you know, he's done a great job. As you know, McNeese led by as much as 20 points for a time, and he held on. And, you know, I really, really thought that this was one of those games that would be an upset in the first round, and he's feeling it right now. I think Will Wade and McNeese can get to Sweet 16. Don't know if they'll go beyond that, but right now he's got a good enough team that can win this weekend and again, you know, advance.
We had him on a couple of days ago, and he was like, Mike, I think last year we just went for the field trip. We didn't go. We weren't focused on the win. He said a lot of that was me, but he said now we looking to win some games when we get into the tournament. So congratulations to the McNeese State Cowboys and Will Wade, and what a great group of guys. And it's a totally different team than he had a year ago. I mean, he had a huge turnover on that basketball team. Renee, we haven't had you on since a free agency started. Get your thoughts on the Saints re-inking up Chase Young and Justin Reed, a guy you and I saw in high school at Dutchtown, and he goes to Stanford, really a standout player with both the Texans and the Chiefs. And so your thoughts on adding Justin Reed and bringing back Chase Young, who showed a lot of potential. He got a lot of pressures. He just couldn't finish the deal getting sacks.
Well, you know, and I got to tell you, I really didn't think that Chase Young, they would fit him under the cap, but it's great that they bring him back. I think it's a place that Chase Young wanted to be, and they're going to have one of the better, we call Granderson and Chase Young and Cameron Jordan. I mean, they got, you know, and they added a little piece, Jonah Williams, they got from the Rams. But I think having Chase Young, that is the crown jewel of his free agency, or bringing him back. And Justin Reed, had a chance to meet with him a week or so ago at Saints camp, and he's going to be a really good piece. He's in a team with Tyrann Mathieu, as a guy he played with, you know, of course, with the Chiefs, and Davin Gotchaw. I think that's going to be another piece that's going to be a really going to be a nice add to that defensive line as a nose tackle. And Davin Gotchaw, I think they got him for a good price, and that's a good piece I think will fit into that Brandon Staley defense.
Renee, I was going to ask you about Gotchaw. And to last 9 years in this league, and, you know, he's played defensive end, he's played defensive tackle, he's played the nose guard. He's played all over the board. And, man, when he came on with us during the week, man, he had some great Pete Jenkins and Ed Orgeron stories. And I knew that the Orgeron stories, I knew he had, because Ed told me a little bit about something one time he really got on him. But this team has got to be able to stop the run. And I think that has not been a strong point for this team. They've given up way too much yardage when teams have pounded at them. And they've got to be able to run the football. So when I look at this to get better up front, well, adding Gotchaw, I think Justin Reed will help there also, because he's a guy that'll fly up the seam very well. When I look at the draft, this sort of points toward either they're going to go offensive line, or they may get a big man tight end receiver in round one.
Well, you know, and I still, as we talked not long ago, and you know, it, with the draft and everything, I thought that Will Johnson would be a good fit, and with the cornerbacks now, with Alante Taylor and Kool-Aid, which just 1 year of experience, they bring back Isaac Yiadom, you know, but they don't have a whole lot there. I think the cornerback position as well is going to be a spot that they're going to have to address kind of early in that draft, if not in the first round, but at least in the first two or three rounds. And I agree with you, bringing in the tight end. They you know, they got Juwan Johnson coming back. Foster, that was going to be a nice addition. Foster Morrow, they got Jack Stoll coming. They signed him from Miami. But offensive line and defensive line, you know, do you want to draft somebody that can, you know, like a Will Campbell who will come in at tackle and they'll slide Penning inside? That's something that the staff, obviously, Mike, you know, they'll talk about. But that defensive line is Deion Walker, the guy from Kentucky. Is he a guy that's on their radar? Or, you know, one of the guys I had in my mock draft, Jared Ivey, you know, a guy who can play inside or outside. I like him a lot. So I'm sure some of the names they're going to look at, and I'm sure, as you said, offensive, defensive line, cornerback, tight end, those are spots they are certainly going to address and look really, really hard at in the early in the draft.
Man, I like Jared Ivey. He's versatile. He could play end. He could play tackle. And I just saw the progression in him as a player at Ole Miss. And I'd be all for Jared Ivey. I'm not talking about round one now, but I'm talking about a little bit later in the draft. Yesterday, LSU got a commitment from the number one ranked wide receiver in the country from Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and Tristan Keyes. I've seen a little bit of him on film, but I've had other guys that were recruiting him tell me, whoa, he might be another Justin Jefferson type player. He might be that type of guy at LSU. And I'm like, man, if he's even close to that, you got something.
Well, you know, Mike, and the thing is, Tristan Keyes is the number one wide receiver in the country, and he's the third overall player in the country. The last time LSU got a wide receiver that high was Kayshon Boutte in 2020 when he was the second best wide receiver in the nation. So Tristan Keyes, LSU has never got a wide receiver ranked that high. The number one receiver, 6'3", 190. He's got NFL size right now. He's got a 41-inch vertical, Mike. Runs a sub-4.5 40. He's a game-changer kind of guy. He attacks the football. And the thing that helps him a lot with his skills, he's a high jumper, a long jumper, a triple jumper. He triple jumps over 43 feet, and he plays basketball very well. So he's got overall skills that translate to his position in football. And you know, he's a guy that can hit the, you know, come in next year if he sticks to his commitment and comes in early. He can hit the field early, and he's ready to play in the SEC. And that's a guy you got to look at really hard.
One quick question before we leave to go, but DJ Pickett. And talking to some of the coaches at LSU, they got a couple comments on him. Everything advertised. He's that good. He's that good of a player. And, Renee, look at the size of that cat. How many 6'3" corners walking this earth? Not a lot. Or, you know, you could count them on maybe a finger or two. And everybody at LSU is saying he's the real McCoy.
Well, and I tell you what, a guy that you're familiar with, Mike, the guy that got from Virginia Tech, a transfer portal, Mansoor Delane, who's coming in, could have been in the draft this year, and they asked him about DJ Pickett, and he said he's as advertised. You know, he's impressed Delane, and DJ Pickett just landed and you know, on campus, and so he's got the size, 6'4", he's 180, he's going to have to fill out a little bit, but he's got the skills, and you know, he's a five-star guy, and LSU really hit a home run on him. And they really did well with guys who are coming in early. Zion Williams is another guy, defensive tackle, I think is going to get that rotation up front. So they did very well with guys who came in early who were 2025 signees.
Renee, thanks so much for joining us. Man, always appreciate your time and insights, bud, and I'll see you real soon.
Hope so, Mike. You have a good one, buddy.
Thank you. Renee Nadeau does a great job covering the Saints, also local sports, high school ranks, also LSU and Tulane for Crescent City Sports. We'll come back to finish it off here in hour number one of Sports Talk right after this break on the Big 870 WWL.